Bunker Banter! We are back on a Friday before Memorial Day weekend. I am your host, Timmy Rendezvous, joined as always by my pal, the Chief, Dennis Dungy. Denny, how are we doing today?
Timmy, it sounds like we're doing great. An early morning call here for you, but man, you let that one rip and it sounded just as good as all of our afternoon calls. Coming at you, as you said, from following up the PGA Championship and our own Connecticut PGA Championship earlier this week. So that gets our kind of individual events underway. We're going to be heading to Pequawbeck early next week for the Walter Lowell. We got some stuff to cover here on the section front. We have a little banter to go around, and then we'll send everybody off into, as it's known in the golf professional world, the start of the 100-day war.
That's it. Yeah. And yes, as you mentioned, early morning start here. I think I did just blow out my voice here. But we'll get through the show, and we apologize for not coming at you last weekend with our PGA Championship preview, as I alluded to in the last episode we recorded, but Denny was all over the place last week with PGA Hope and getting ready for the PGA or the Connecticut PGA Championship and things like that. But happy to be back at you here, and as always, we will start off with a few shout outs. Since our last recording, we had a couple newly registered associates, Jim Hathaway over at Torrington, and then Mitchell French down at Tashua Knoll. So I know both of those guys have been at those facilities for at least a few years now, but good to see them finally get into the program and register as associates. So looking forward to seeing maybe a little more of them at some of our events.
Yeah, and good mentors they're working under down there. Tashua, obviously Bobby Brown. You got Mike Martin hanging out there. David is part of the team there as well. And then, you know, President Bob O'Sparks, Glenn Carlson, you know, two good guys to work under out of Torrington. So congratulations, Jim and Mitchell, for getting into the program. Certainly, for any associates listening, please don't hesitate to pick up the phone and call the 860-430-2302 number that connects you right here to Timmy or the Chief.
Yeah, and we will say our names and be very excited about it when you do call.
And on the playing accomplishment side, obviously, as we kind of alluded to already, we had the Connecticut PGA Championship going on earlier this week and found out that several of our section members or affiliates are advancing in the U.S. Open stage. So moving on to the sectional qualifying, Chris Tallman, Jeff Galderman, Chris Ayers, and I believe our Connecticut PGA champion, Andy Svoboda, also all advanced into from local qualifying to the sectional qualifying. I believe based on conversations I had with all of them, I think they're all heading to Canoe Brook. So best of luck to those guys. One more step and they're in the U.S. Open. So that'd be cool to have that story to tell.
Yeah, no, that's awesome and good to see guys out there trying to compete for the U.S. Open, which I think is good, as we've talked about and highlighted over the last few years, and seeing more guys getting out and playing. So all good there, and wish them the best of luck down at Canoe Brook.
Yeah, and then we had our Connecticut PGA Championship, as I just alluded to, our champion Andy Svoboda, two rounds of good golf, 5 under par. To crown himself the champion of the 92nd Connecticut PGA Championship. Also earns himself a berth in the Travelers Championship this year as the section exemption. So we saw some pretty good golf day two. Day one looked like a couple guys struggled out there. I think we haven't been to Farmington, Country Club of Farmington. I think the last championship we had there was 1958. So it's been a while since we actually had a championship there. But greatly appreciate Jeremy Vaikauskas and his team hosting over there. A lot of great feedback on the facility. Congratulations to Andy on his big win.
Yeah, and I like it from a staffing standpoint because I like the first tee that's right there, the patio. Everybody's kind of mixing it up. We had a few of the members kind of hanging around, watching the last group finish up on 18 there. Two great weather days. So a great couple days over at Farmington to kick off our championship season, we'll call it. And again, congrats to Andy Svoboda and everybody else who played some good golf over the 2 days there.
Yeah, and I think the rest of the staff likes the halfway house where the lobster rolls are served. Unfortunately, they didn't have lobster rolls yet, so sorry for that, staff.
Well, that's why when I went out there, there was always a big crowd of staff out there, and I think they were waiting for that shipment of lobsters to come in. But good stuff there, and I know we have the Travelers pre-qualifiers are coming up in a couple weeks, and as you all should know, that Thursday is kind of on the down low. The section, it's basically a one-day event for section members. Obviously, the spots into the Monday qualifier are up for grabs, but it is also a section event where there is a little bit of prize money, so I'll let Denny kind of get into that a little bit more.
Yeah, and you know, as Timmy said, that's the Thursday event. Prize money, prize purse for the section members. We try to get everybody out a little earlier in the same group, so you know, we kind of make it that event feel. So if you're a section member or associate and looking to play in that, certainly make sure you register for the Thursday event. I do keep track of everybody registering, so if you happen to register for the Wednesday, I will reach out to you and remind you.
And we do have, what is it, the low three non-official qualifying section members get spots into Monday?
So we have two spots. So the low two section professionals that don't advance into the Monday open qualifier through pre-qualifying do get an invite, special exemption invite into the Monday open qualifier. So, you know, kind of a double opportunity there. So hope to get a good number of section guys and ladies registered for that.
Special awards? Special awards, section special awards. Last call, the deadline to nominate your fellow section professionals for a special award is May 31st. We do have a lot of nominations in there right now, which is awesome to see. But again, you can do that through the Open Water platform that we've used the last few years. Or there's also a printout that you can fill out and either take a picture and send it to me, mail it to us, scan it to me. For those of you who prefer to do the paper ballot version. But again, both options are available on the website. Just head over to the professional login portion, which you can access with your PGA.org credentials, and make sure you are getting those nominations over. And for those of you who were nominated, you will be notified of that nomination once the deadline closes, and you'll get all the follow-up information as far as the application and the next phase of the special awards process. So keep an eye out for all of that.
Yeah, and I think the last section note we have here is Patriot Golf Days. Obviously, this weekend kind of kicks, I think the culmination of everything is on Patriot Golf Days, which is celebrated over this weekend. Obviously, donating to a great cause in the Folds of Honor. And the Folds of Honor actually is a very large supporter of our PGA Reach umbrella and the PGA Hope program. So in the event that you're interested in doing a fundraising initiative, you can go on to, I believe it's foldsofhonor.com, and register your facility for a Patriot Golf Days fundraising initiative. So if you have any questions on that, please don't hesitate to reach out to that 860 number I threw out earlier. I would be glad to help you out. And I did forget to mention, for our Connecticut PGA Championship, we want to thank our sponsors as well. Mohegan Sun and Club Car are the local sponsors of that event. And then we have the PGA Tour and Rolex, who are national sponsors. And some of that dollars trickle down to us here in the section. So I greatly appreciate those. And the reason I saw that is because we have the Walter Lowell coming up next week. We'll have a fair amount of section partners at that event, so looking forward to having them there as well. So
yeah, looking forward to the Walter Lowell Tuesday at Pequavik. As we've said in the past, we are very excited for the food at Pequavik, so looking forward to just a good day of golf. And that's always a fun event. Obviously, it's an individual event, but you got the little somewhat team aspect in there with the different divisions, with the host sites of the majors. So I always liked the Walter Lowell.
Yeah, the Walter Lowell is a good one. It's, you know, I think a lot of guys like it too because they can pick their ball up once they miss that par putt, you know, because it's stable for a tournament. So you're not posting, you're not necessarily posting a score for the world to see. You just go out there and, you know, put up as many points as you can. So fun event. Did talk to Kevin yesterday. The menu is going to be pretty darn good. So looking forward to that, as you said.
Nice.
So with that, you want to transfer over into the banter session?
Yes, we can always transfer to the banter section.
So I'm going to start off, I'm going to let you get on your high horse here, but we're going to start off with some baseball news. I heard you and Howie talking yesterday. We had a board meeting yesterday, and, you know, like I said, overheard you and Howie talking Yankees stuff.
Yep.
The only thing I'm going to throw out there, and I've already kind of hit you with this, but a video popped up on my phone the other day. Yankees get a walk-off win, and what do? The fans start fighting each other. So how can you even like a team that the fans fight each other?
We're just fired up. The fan base is just fired up. We got to be angry at something because that's just how the New York audience is bred. We're on edge all the time for no reason, really. There's just a lot of stress. We're dealing with traffic down in New York and the dealing with the train situation. And just New York is a rough and tumble place.
But if you're going to beat people up, beat up the fans of the other team, not your own team.
It's a fair point, Danny. I can't really defend it. I'm just trying to circle around the subject. I love the passion. I'm going to go with that.
Listen, in Philly, we embrace it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. but yeah, the video was a pretty funny video. And you saw some tough guy New York fans there brawling each other after a nice win. And I have been very down on the Yankees, as you all know, the last few episodes. And, you know, I'm slow to come around to accepting them as a, you know, because I look at it from, you know, as a Yankee fan. It's all about the World Series. We're not trying to get to the playoffs and just get to the playoffs. We're trying to win the World Series. And we haven't won one in a very long time, and it's very disappointing. New York sports in general has been very disappointing over the last decade or so. But I, you know, the team, like I said to Howie yesterday, the team kind of goes as Aaron Judge goes. He's been on an absolute tear since he's been back, and the offense looks like it has a pulse. When he's not hitting and Giancarlo's hurt like always, and, you know, some of the other guys aren't exactly pulling their weight, they look like a very old, lackluster kind of team. And, you know, you question some of the moves and the roster and the depth and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, when Aaron Judge is being the best player in baseball, you know, they tend to do well. I get that other guys have obviously had great seasons. Rizzo, Glaber kind of comes and goes and things like that. But the team goes as Aaron Judge goes, and that's kind of that. I mean, you're seeing the AL East is pretty stacked.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. All the teams are over 500. It's great.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Rays are still on a tear.
Yeah.
Orioles are still playing great, which is probably one of the biggest shocks.
Yeah. Well, last year they were a huge shock. I mean, yeah, they were supposed to lose like 100 games, and they were pretty relevant all season. This year they're playing very well, and they have a nice young group of players there. So I like the Orioles to kind of be good, because they had their time in the 60s where they were the best team in baseball, basically.
Yeah, and you know, those Red Sox fans, they're kind of marching to the same beat that I am as a Phillies fan. We're trying to dig out of the bomb shelters we built early in the season.
Yeah.
You know, so, but a lot of games left in the baseball world. I mean, I don't even think we're a quarter of the way through the season.
Yeah.
I guess we're getting close to a quarter of the way.
We're at least getting to that Memorial Day point, where I think is always kind of that first checkpoint if you're a baseball team, and you kind of see where your team's at, see what you got to do to maybe improve, see where you know. But and like you said, the Phillies are scuffling a little bit, but they're not so far out of it where, you know, they can't make a move or anything. They got to get their guy. I mean, we talked about it the other day. Nolan Wheeler got to figure out what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we're going to turn it on after the All-Star break, as we did last year. And, you know, hopefully we can sneak into the playoffs and you just be the hottest team in the playoffs. I mean, we're seeing that in the hockey arena right now, which is awesome. Awesome to see. But before we transition away from baseball, I saw yesterday the UConn men got underway on their bid to head back to the World Series. They're actually ranked number 10 in the country, which is their highest ranking since 1979.
Wow.
So they had I don't know if they played a second game yet or not, but they played Georgetown the other day and got their win in the first game of the Big East tournament. So Obviously, we followed them a little bit last year when they made their run. So, you know, wishing them the best of luck as they start that run again. Pretty
nice.
Cool for, you know, school that's really known for basketball.
Well, any kind of Northeast school
yeah.
is not exactly a baseball school.
Yeah, but yeah, it's pretty cool to see that. So.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff there. I'm glad you had no idea that was going on. I just thought that Rutgers had a disappointing baseball season, but whatever. But yeah, so we'll transition a little bit. To be honest, I have not followed any of the hockey since the local teams have been in it. I know that the Florida Panthers,
you mean
I believe.
The Hartford Whalers?
Yeah, the Whalers.
They haven't been in it in a long time.
Exactly. Yeah. So I am tuned out from hockey. So if you have anything on hockey, Denny, sure.
Yeah, the Florida Panthers swept the Hurricanes, scored a goal the other in game 4 with 4.3 seconds left to break a tie. So that was pretty cool. I mean, obviously exciting for the Panthers. I think they came in as the 8 seed, I believe. So, you know, low expectations, but here they are in the Stanley Cup. And then the Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. Golden Knights were looking for the sweep. Dallas scored, I believe, a last-minute goal last night to keep themselves alive. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I did see, again, another video that popped up. The Dallas Stars fans in Game 3, so they were back home, and they got down like 3-0 early, and the fans, right at the end of, I think, the first or second period, there was like 20 seconds left, and they just started pelting the ice with soda cans and drinks.
Fired up fans.
So they actually pulled the players off the ice 20 seconds early. They came back out after the break, cleared up the or finished up the second or first period, whatever it was, and then went right into the third, the next period. So, and then I think it happened again. They, you know, started firing stuff down there. But, you know, Dallas fans, I guess, you know, everybody talks about the Philadelphia fans, but they're everywhere.
No, there is some rowdy fans everywhere. It like dies down the farther you get out west, I think, is kind of the vibe. Because even with like all the, you know, the fans out west, the LA fans, they've always gotten kind of a bad rap. And I think it's true. I mean, the few times that I've been out to California, you know, it's not like sports is everywhere. Like you walk down, you know, in the streets of New York, you can't go 2 feet without somebody rocking gear of their team. You go to California and there's like, it's like they don't exist, and there's like 8 teams in the state. So it's definitely a different vibe once you get further out west.
Yeah, and I was thinking that this morning, actually. They were talking about something on the radio, and I was like, yeah, I said, man, it'd be great. It's a great time to be a sports fan in Florida.
Yeah.
But
They don't care.
Yeah. You got the Panthers are in, you know, the Panthers are in the Stanley Cup playoffs or in the finals. You got the Miami Heat are in the mix of things.
Rays are great.
The NBA, the Rays are, kind of dominating right now. But, you know, you have the Tampa Bay Lightning, which not only a couple years ago were raising the Stanley Cup champion trophy. So, but, you know, to your point, you don't go down there and see too many people rocking
We are very lucky to be where we are from a sports fan standpoint.
And speaking of sports fans in Connecticut, you and I were talking about this the other day. Old Governor Ned Lamont,
yeah,
I think, made a phone call to the NHL, potentially. I know the Arizona, I think it is.
The Coyotes?
The Coyotes, yeah.
Phoenix, the, what are they called now?
Yeah, so they're, the community there turned down the the stadium or arena that they were going to build. So now the Coyotes are left homeless right now. And I think Governor Lamont is trying to swoop in there and bringing them back. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Obviously, our arena here probably needs some work in order to bring back a NHL franchise. But hey, maybe it's something that's in the making.
Yeah, and maybe it's some kind of a parlay situation where you take the opportunity to upgrade it with you know, UConn's recent success, and I mean, they're kind of an XL Center kind of team, which, again, drives me nuts. If I was a UConn student, I would have to go to the XL Center. But you take UConn's success, you upgrade there for that purpose, and then also the Whalers. Maybe you got something cooking. It's probably something that's going to be a few years down the road, but, you know, it's got to start somewhere. So it's I know a lot of people are probably excited to hear even the possibility that the Whalers could be back.
Yep, I know who just tipped the glass back. Sean Buska.
Yeah, the boom.
He's probably the most excited.
And our guy at the transfer station who always rocks the Whalers.
Yeah. And then in the NBA front, you got, you know, our Boston people are excited. They got 2 in a row now. Denver swept the Lakers. So my opinion is, if the Celtics come back and win in game seven, and I've said this for many years, the NBA is fixed. But they showed up the last two games and played like the Celtics team they are on paper and, you know, talent wise.
So, yeah.
You know, certainly don't want to take that away from them. But, you know, Jimmy Butler and the Heat have been on a little bit of a roll. And, you know, to see Boston come in and win the last four games, that just makes me kind of wonder how things operate in the NBA world. But, wish them the best of luck. Yeah, we got some Boston fans here, so.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching a little bit of it with Nicole, and listen, the first obviously three games there, they were getting out coached, outplayed, out hustled, out everything. The team looked disjointed. Tatum's, you know, being a crybaby, walking over the bench half the time. And then listen, they won a couple games. I think if I was a Heat fan, I would definitely be a little nervous at this point. I think if Boston somehow figures out how to win Game Six. I mean, you'd hate to be Miami going into a Game 7.
In the
TD Garden, on the precipice of being the first team ever to blow a 3-0 lead in the NBA playoffs. I think that's not a great spot. But I do think, again, Spoelstra as a coach and obviously Jimmy Butler and that team, they don't seem to be very fazed by things. They're an experienced team that seems to play well as a team, and they've done it before in the playoffs. So I don't see a situation where that happens, but again, anytime you're up 3-0 and you start to slip a little bit, the pressure turns to you.
Yeah, and I think Game Six, which I believe is tomorrow, Saturday, I think that's going to be the game.
Yeah.
I think whoever wins that game is going to be going to the finals. Obviously, if the Heat win, they're going.
Yeah.
The Celtics win, I think they go back home to Boston and clinch it in Game 7.
So. And I really just don't want to see another Boston team come back from 3-0, because then they're going to go, oh, yeah, Boston, that's what we do. We come back from 3-0 and da-da-da-da. Like, I don't want to hear that either. Because then it's just going to dig up all the 0-4 skeletons there for that year. We don't need to get into that. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens there.
All right, let's close out with
PGA.
Let's close out with some golf. Obviously, we had the PGA Championship last weekend. Pretty special event for us as a PGA section, and myself as a PGA member, and all of our other PGA members here within the section, because that event's operated by the PGA of America and is considered one of the majors. And I think what made it even more special was what kind of played out over the 4 days with Mr. Michael Block and the Block Party, although the Block Party kind of went a little too late a few days, I guess, and it's kind of running out of steam. But, I mean, hey, after the week the guy has been through, I mean, who thinks they could probably go out and shoot a, you know, kind of repeat what he did in the PGA Championship? But obviously a awesome story to follow. I think it kind of overshadowed Koepka as the winner, which, by the way, I'm looking at my notes from last week, and
you had them.
I had notes.
Yeah.
To talk about on the show, which we ended up not doing, and my two picks were Brooks Koepka and Patrick Cantlay. I thought Cantlay would be a front runner with Mr. LaCava, a local product on the bag here, or on the bag for him. Unfortunately, I don't even know that he teed it up. I don't know if he was even there, but I did pick the winner. So.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. And listen, Koepka, you kind of saw it at the Masters. He kind of had that little bit of Eye of the Tiger back in him, that swag that he's kind of known for, especially in the majors. And I think you're showing maybe what, a healthy Koepka can do and how injured he probably has been the last couple years. And, there's a lot of publicity around the Netflix show where he was just mentally in the dumps. And a lot of people were like, maybe he doesn't come back. But I think Koepka is back, and as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be an absolute force in the majors going forward. Obviously, a Live Tour guy and all that kind of stuff. And, so from that perspective, it was kind of interesting to see. But again, Michael Block kind of overshadowed, especially in our world, as you mentioned, sections and PGA members and I think it was a great, and the coverage did a great job, I think, highlighting you know, PGA members and all the commercials on, you know, PGA Junior League and all this other stuff. And, you know, Michael Black was just about as entertaining as it got as far as showing personality and just some of the just magical. I mean, he didn't just play well. I mean, the hole in one, the up and down on 18. I mean, there was a lot of drama filled with the four rounds of golf that he played. And, you know, to see him get emotional as he did, you know, after he finished his round with the video that was sent in by his son and all the members at the club and, you know, everybody I think out there who listens to the show and obviously all PGA members and associates and everybody, could really relate to that moment. And, you know, I saw a lot of our guys posting things that they were getting emotional seeing him. And, it's definitely a special, special moment for PGA members and obviously especially for Mr. Black.
Yeah, and we talked about it yesterday at PGA Hope because we were working our way out onto the golf course with the veterans, but we obviously talked about the PGA Championship. It was great because we kicked off the session, and I asked them how many of them watched the PGA Championship because a lot of them are new to golf, but a lot of them raised their hand and watched it, and all of them knew the name Michael Block. So it was pretty cool to kind of tell the story, but the one thing that I kind of highlighted from the Michael Block experience was one of the things that came out after, I believe it was round one, and I believe it was the 15th hole, but he shanked a shot.
Oh, yeah.
On one of the par threes and took a double bogey. I mean, he hit it literally 20 yards to the right and 20 yards in front of him. Yep. And just continued on playing. And I mean, he could have, the bubble could have been burst there and he could have been done, but he continued forging ahead. And like you said, he looked like he was having fun out there, and that's what we preach to the veterans that are going through the PGA Hope program. I mean, you gotta be safe and have fun out there, and the golf is the third, fourth, fifth thing on the menu. And I think that's kind of how, you know, Michael played, where he was just excited to be there and having fun, and he happened to hit some good shots and play some good golf, and look what it did for him. He's playing in the Charles Schwab this week after an invite. As we talked, kind of led off the show with, it didn't fare so well, but I saw a couple videos of him. He's still having fun out there, and I think it's an awesome time for him. He's going to the Canadian Open in 2 weeks. He'll be back at the PGA Championship next year based on his top 15 finish. So, you know, just an awesome story that'll be able to be told for years to come. And I think we were talking about it yesterday at our board meeting. We have that opportunity coming up with us here within our section boundaries with Andy. And certainly we've had some opportunities in the past with Chris Tallman and Adam DeMario and Brian Kaiser playing in the Travelers Championship. But it would be a cool story to see one of our own guys that earned the exemption in there kind of following Michael's lead and kind of make the cut and, you know, have some TV time. That would be pretty cool.
And Andy has made the cut there before, I believe.
Andy's made the cut there, yeah, when he was on, I believe, as a Korn Ferry Tour player. Yep. He earned his way through. So, I mean, we've got a very fair shot at that. Or he does. And we'll jump on the train, as we always do. You
know? We'll do a live bunker banter from the Travelers.
But as you said, the up and down that Block had on 18 to get into, you know, stay in that top 15. I mean, it was just an awesome week in general. And I think, as you said, you know, I think that story took away from the whole, oh, Brooks Koepka, the live guy, won, and so forth. So an awesome week there. My question now is, after Koepka wins and his performance in the Masters, obviously you have two more majors to go, so there's probably a good shot that he earns his way onto the team. But in the event he doesn't earn his way onto the team, how do you not select him as a captain's pick just because he's a live tour player?
Yeah.
It will blow my mind if that happens.
Yeah. No, and I think, didn't Scheffler come out and not specifically say that Koepka should be on the team, but basically make the comments of, we want to win, so we should have the best players.
Best players, yeah.
Kind of thing.
The best players. So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think as like anything else, as time kind of goes on and, you know, everybody kind of gets their feel for what the live tour is, and listen, nobody's discounting any of the Saudi kind of stuff, the politics of it and things like that. But, you know, from a just straight up golf standpoint, it's another golf tour. So you know, the players don't necessarily, I don't think, have a ton of animosity for most of the guys, if not all of the guys. I mean, obviously Phil has kind of taken a hardline stance as kind of almost the villain of the whole situation. But I think for the most part, you know, you see it. You know, I saw it down when I was at Augusta on the range. I mean, it's not like these guys are ignoring each other and, you know, making this whole thing. So from a Ryder Cup standpoint, I think they just want to play with their fellow countrymen and, you know, give themselves the best chance to win. Because if it doesn't happen, then what you're going to see is, okay, so Team USA loses and Koepka's not playing. And, well, you know, the comments are going to be, well, you know, that was great, but at the same time, you know, we didn't have we didn't put our best foot forward because these players weren't able to play and da-da-da-da-da. So that to me is what's going to happen if they don't play.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it's, I'm going to say blown out of proportion for lack of a better term, but it's the media that's really doing that. You know, that was one of the things we talked about when the Masters was going on. You didn't hear anybody talking about it except for the media were questioning all the players. Oh, how does, you know, and every player said the same thing. It's another golf tournament. You know, everybody's here to play golf. Let's play golf. So, you know, that's what the media is for. So,
yeah, no, at some point, that's what they got to create the story. Exactly. But time will tell, and the season will play out. And as we get closer to it, you know, more details will shake out. And I'm sure the right thing will be done.
Yeah. You got anything else, sports world? I got a little closing piece here for us. If you don't have any more banter.
No, I was just going to say that it was nice to see Larry Kelly get some good screen time on the trophy presentation.
Yeah, Harry, Jim Remy.
Jim Remy was in there. You know, it was nice to, I was sitting there with everybody. I was like, oh, you know, John Linder, Bunker Banter guest.
I think he was one of our top-rated guests.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Listened to shows, yeah.
So I was flaunting that the entire... Every time he popped up on the screen, I'm like, Bunker Banter guest right there.
Well, I sent you a picture of Koepka and Block with the officers and Seth. And, you know, I'm a sneaker guy. I like wearing my sneakers. But I got to give a little jab to John Easterbrook. He's the chief membership officer.
Yeah.
And he was wearing sneakers, which I was okay with, but they were bright red Ronald McDonald shoes. And, you know, so I'm going to give him a little jab next time I see him.
Yeah.
About that.
The Dons were nice. They had like the Carolina blue dunks.
He's repping the dunks now, which is a good thing. So, but you know, the bright red, Ronald McDonald shoes stood out in
not
the picture
great.
For me. So
yeah. All right. What do you got? Cool. What do you got to close out here?
So I've just seen Memorial Day weekend. We talked about it. You know, we're heading into Memorial Day weekend, and we have you know, as I said, being on the green grass side of things, it's the start of the 100-day war. So there's somebody sent this to me the other day, and I guess it's going around on social media. But over the next day or two, my challenge to our golf professionals and our listeners is to Google names of fallen service members and pick one of those links that comes up and learn the story of a fallen service member. And over the Memorial Day weekend, while you are having a nice bubbly beverage, just tell the story of that person. And what kind of caught me was now starts the complaints from your members or the people that are coming to your facility that, oh, there was a blade of grass that wasn't cut. You know, oh, this happened. My cart's terrible. This happens. So over Memorial Day weekend, I think have that story in your back pocket. And when that person comes into you complaining about a minor detail of what's happening in today's world, pull that person aside and share the story of that service member that gave the ultimate sacrifice to allow that person the right to complain about that blade of grass.
Yes.
Or the drink wasn't made strong enough or whatever it is. And just, you know, I thought it was a pretty cool post or whatever it was to, share that story of somebody that gave the ultimate sacrifice. So
yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool.
I think it's always important to have perspective on things when you kind of get wrapped up in your bubble of, in our case, in this example, the golf season and the complaints. And listen, we get it. Once you kind of move through, obviously this is the first weekend, but as you get more and more into the season, it wears down on you. But to kind of have that perspective, I think that's a good exercise to go through. I started reading a book about the great Bob Feller, former pitcher for the Indians, now the Guardians. But he was the first professional athlete in America to enlist in World War II. But it's crazy because like think about Mike Trout going to war right now. Like it's just a different different time period, and obviously there were plenty of other athletes that went in. But
well, when you think about it, in our time, you got Pat Tillman, right?
Yeah.
So Pat Tillman making millions of dollars in NFL and no longer here because he put on a uniform.
Yeah.
A different kind of uniform.
Different uniform. Exactly. No, but it's always good to have that perspective. And, I know we both had family members to serve and all that kind of stuff. So good weekend to think about that.
Yeah, so we'll close out with that. Obviously, thank all of our service men and women, and to those that made ultimate sacrifice and their families, we say thank you. With that, we're going to close out the show. If you got any good ideas for us to chat about here on the show, or you want to join us as a guest, please reach out to us. Always happy to have somebody else on the show. But until then, looking forward to seeing some of you at this week's Walter Lowell. And thanks to listening in to Bunker Banter.